Hello. Wow. So for some John's reason, here. John's here again.
Yeah. Hi, John.
Yeah, John's back.
Yeah, which we're excited. He waited. He's been sitting here for a whole week.
Yeah, we all put on the same clothes. Came back. John came back again. Exactly. Yeah, John put on the same sweater.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has others.
Actually, he's been on here for a week now, just waiting.
Yeah, John's just been on camera downstairs.
I've been talking the whole time.
Luckily, he's got a lot of books to read.
So the word we want to focus on in this episode, and it's nice having John here because we normally don't really have a focus, right?
What?
Yeah. what's the word, John?
Oh, phenomenology?
Yes, phenomenology. Yeah. I knew the word. I wanted John to say the word.
What's John supposed to know?
John knew the word. He said phenomenology.
He's dyslexic.
He's dyslexic. He gets it.
However
much or little you want to get into this, one of the things I wanted to talk about on this episode with Sean and with you as well is like, so what was it like growing up, stepping into the world, and how do you see it differently? How do you, cause we've described it all the time, but it'd be fun to, very good to hear another dyslexic person who has also gone through the education system. Clearly, what's that like?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been phases, So, I mean, I got really, really, I think, lucky compared to a lot of dyslexics because I got diagnosed so young. And because it's like, I got to go to this like school where it was only dyslexic kids. So it was, tiny. It was like, there's 10 kids in my grade were all dyslexic. So like,
that's crazy.
You go to someone's birthday, like they'll play the cha-cha slide. No one knows the right from their left. So it's like, just a car, what's going to happen, it was so fun. I mean,
I've always
super lucky. Yeah.
I always said when I was kind of got out of high school and stuff and I heard about those schools that I thought that I really wouldn't like them.
Yeah. I think they were really great. I mean,
I just have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's weird and thinking, doing their own things. Got like weird projects going. It's like, everyone's exciting and fun. It's just like everyone's hyperactive. It's just kind of like your people,
Right. So was it weird then to get into like further academia or like out into the regular world? Was that kind of a shell shock to you, or was it still
really?
I don't mean to get too personal or anything.
I think
that would be an interesting experience.
Yeah. I mean, so the thing, it was like a private school, very expensive. So at a certain point, it's like I did learn to read around like fourth grade, I guess, Woo! So it's like, got that
far. It's a big deal for us.
So my parents, I think, were thinking like, all right, it's super expensive. John Henry doesn't need to like learn how to read anymore, but like probably not ready to go like to like full school. So I homeschooled for a few years.
Okay.
Like, they like could handle teaching me to a certain degree. It's like they don't have the specialization to teach me to read, but they could like help me out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, and then from there, I actually ended up just like 180. I got a scholarship, went to a boarding school. So I like,
really?
Yeah, went from homeschool to boarding school, and it was wild.
That's fascinating.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But boarding school was amazing. I loved it. But like, I think academically, there was always this sort of like, almost like a Napoleon complex where it's like, I feel like I'm really dumb and I got to like prove to everyone, no one's telling me I'm dumb. I just feel like I am. I feel like there's that expectation there. And I just want to prove that I can do the same stuff.
That was me.
And, Yeah,
that was me in college for sure.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that it was easy to spot like a misspelling or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
because our
little things that would,
it's not
out you as a dyslexic.
Yeah, it's not easy like if you don't get stuff and it's not dyslexic related, so it's not writing or reading related. Like you can hide a lot of things, but you can't I can't fake spelling to someone. You know what I mean? Like if I'm a conversationalist, I can like kind of talk my way through stuff. Maybe I don't understand that well, right? Like which a lot of kids could do and they can get on the test and they can do it fine.
I can fake it.
But I can,
because I write
great
sloppy.
Bullshit artist.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, you write
just
sloppy.
Then. Write really sloppy on the board. And
nobody
can tell if you're spelling things right. That's how
you're right.
No,
that's a good
how
point.
I get through it. And
I do that to this day. I had someone at work. They had to They're like, why don't you put that, like, why don't you type for us?
And I was like, you don't want to see the type.
Like, no.
I'll type. You really don't want to see me type.
Yeah.
I've done that at TED meetings, remember?
Yeah.
I'm typing, and everyone's like, no, you're misspelling. I'm like, shut up. I'm dyslexic.
Yep.
Don't care. I'll correct it later. I don't give a crap.
Or I might not correct it.
Right spelling for me.
Yeah. I'm just going to type up the ideas, you know?
So what tech are you using? Are you using, like, Grammarly and stuff like that?
Not really at this point. I mean, like,
okay,
usually I just like brain vomit out onto the page.
Yeah.
And then I gotta just like read over it over and over and over
read
again.
It. That's
Just like, it's, you know, you're just putting it together. I feel like the Grammarly, I don't think I actually tried Grammarly, but like
those sort of
earlier Microsoft Word, like it's really helpful on one level, but then at a certain point, it's like, it can almost like, it gives you suggestions that are also misspellings or something.
Right.
And you're just like, all right, like, I don't know.
My thing is, I don't look when I'm typing.
Me either.
I can't look. Because it's going to say misspelled things and I'll want to go back and fix it.
But I want my
thoughts. Exactly.
But
yeah.
I
got to
get my vomit out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to
Yeah, it's like I'll look around while I'm typing because it's like,
it doesn't matter.
To the point where you can remember where the keys are with your.
Did it take you a long time to learn to type? It took me, I think, 2 years.
It took,
probably
like 3 or 4 years for me. It took forever.
I was terrible. I did the thing where you put the cardboard over it, right where they do it. And I told my teacher, I was like, I don't know any of these. There's
keys.
No spatial, right? I was like, you're taking away my ability to do spatial. Because I can't even see my own hands.
Yeah.
So how do you do that?
That was hard.
With the motor memory. Yeah.
Was it a discipline for you? Like for me, like every day after class, I would type up my notes and I would not look at the keyboard. And I would just type up everything. And then I would go back and spell check and everything. But is that how you did it too? Like it just was like a discipline? Like I knew I had to figure it out.
I knew typing was what I had to do. Yeah. For a while, I would just look.
Yeah,
and I think it was just too scared to like look away and just like force myself to remember, you know. So it's like I think it took me longer that way, but like I eventually got to the point where it's like, yeah, I've got to look away. I never tried the cardboard thing, but yeah, that probably would have
worked. That doesn't work. I looked.
It's
but
terrible.
I held my hands properly. I looked for maybe a year, and then I started slowly glancing up, and then it got to this point. It's kind of like where you don't have to think about it. Like if you play an instrument long enough, you don't think about the notes.
Yeah. No,
you
totally.
Just play. Yeah. And that's what typing had to become for me.
That's what editing is like for me. Like so if I'm typing out actual words, I'm looking at the keyboard and I can like just like visualize what I'm typing. It's like I can just visualize the screen. I think that's like an autism thing. But but for editing, it's like, okay, so I don't think Control S to save. I just think save. Actually, it's so ingrained with me. Mm. Whenever I make like a cut or like
I don't think.
Okay, save. My mind just or like just it's muscle memory where like I it doesn't feel like a complete action unless my hand just goes Control S. But I'm not even looking.
Yeah. Oh no, you messed up the light.
God, that was bright.
So there's a theorist.
Yeah, thanks.
There was a Csikszentmihalyi who talked about flow theory, and it's an idea where you get into this space where you're no longer, time is irrelevant, you're in that state, in the present, and that's not true for typing per se, but there's like that kind of that level. Is it maybe level one flow theory where I'm just typing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not thinking about, if I had to think about where the letters are, I don't know. Like, I have no idea, but I can type fast, but I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, what you said made me really laugh about like dancing and all that. Like
having
left and right. I remember when I was in school, like, I guess cause Ford was still a big thing, but like, he wasn't then, but like he influenced education. Like, what is it called? Square dancing was taught.
Yeah.
And I could not get it. I mean, I like to dance. Like I'm not an awkward dancer.
Yeah, I'm not a.
But I don't know left and right, and I'm
Bridget
like spinning around trying to mimic everybody else.
Bridget tries to teach me dancing.
Square dancing was so hard.
What is the type that we finally learned?
I just
learned?
Wanted dodgeball. That was my
favorite. Yeah.
I was usually one of the last people in dodgeball.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
You dodge a ball.
Bridget taught me the box step, and that's about the only thing, after a long time, is the only thing that I can do. And we did it at a wedding. last weekend. It's the only thing that I'm
rhythmic dance is required. What is it about our culture that does that? Like, that's so important that everyone has to move the same way. I just don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
No.
What do you think British it Empire. Did for your So hard work was a big thing for both of us. Like, you just really got to just grind into it if you want to be successful. What do you think it did for, like, your confidence in things like that? Like, was it, is it sort of, like, did you just have to be like, you know what, I am, like, do it yourself? Just kind of say, you know what, I am smart and I am good, you know, I am capable of doing these things. Or did it take some time? Like, I know a lot of people would benefit from, we've talked about that.
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, like, I remember when I, like, found out I was dyslexic, my adopted grandmother, my preschool teacher, and my dad, they, like, sat me down, and then, like, other members of my family who were also dyslexic, and we had, like, the talk, you know, and it was just like, look, you're dyslexic, cool, it's gonna be it's like, I think a lot of it's like, because it's genetic, so I think it's like family members, even if they don't even have the words like dyslexia, they know it's going to be harder in school, and they can give their kids the talk a lot of the time, you know. But, like, for me,
that movie Teen Wolf. Do you guys know that movie from the 80s?
Yeah.
Where he's a werewolf, and he's freaking out, but then his dad comes to the door and, like, we need to talk.
Yeah, we need to talk.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
you're a werewolf. Stuff I gotta tell you. We're all werewolves.
Yeah,
it's like that, and we have different powers. Okay, so you're just gonna have to get used to it.
Wait, what? Is that the thing of the show?
Teen Wolf. It's a Michael.
Or there's a TV show. There's a TV show that came out about it.
Oh, I don't know. It was a movie in the '80s I watched.
I have to see that.
You should watch it.
You couldn't see it. But Lucas was giving a questioning face to the genetic comment. I know that it is partially genetic. Do you know what degree? Do you have more knowledge on that than we do?
That's past my expertise.
I didn't know if
we don't quite know that.
Yeah,
but it is passed down.
Yeah, but it is passed down genetically in some way.
Yeah,
I definitely know that. It definitely is.
It's like, there are some theories about that with autism, and, like, my family is, like, really leaning towards that, because, like, I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to reveal, but, like, other people in my family have autism other than me, and then, like, we're pretty sure our grandfather has it, but it's like, it's unconfirmed because, like, they didn't know enough about autism back then.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where we kind of get the whole thing we were talking about earlier, where it's like, oh, well, we didn't have this back in my day. We got along just fine.
I talked about that, too. My granddad, like, he had things so that make me think.
Well, my grandpa was definitely, like, had, you can see it in his writing. So my grandpa wrote, self-published, like, 2 books.
Okay.
But you can see it in his writing about growing up. So what's really interesting about my family and the dyslexia that's probably somewhere in it is my family ran a printing business in Louisville for like 100 years.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. They ran the Schumann Printing Company, which printed the Louisville Anzeiger, the German newspaper in Louisville. And that's a fascinating trade for people that definitely were dyslexic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you go back and you look at the writing from these newspapers, which you can see it all over the place, in this area, right, is you can see the dyslexia in there. Like, you can, not the misspelling, but you can see the way things are written. You're like, oh, yeah, these brains were dyslexic. And then I got some of my grandpa's old notebooks.
Mm.
He sold the printing company. He didn't want to do it anymore. He did, like, before it was cool, like, I'm tired of being in the city and I'm going to go live out in the country.
Okay.
Sold all of his belongings, moved him and my dad and the whole family out to a farm in Campbellsville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And started, like, a horse farm and was like, now I'm going to do this. It was the most Sean Apostle thing I've ever heard. It's like,
totally,
I'm going to go do this now. Yeah.
I'm done.
And it's very dyslexic. It's very dyslexic to be like that.
It's like, right? I can actually see printing as like a dyslexic thing. Because it's like, on the one hand, I feel like dyslexics, you know, I don't know. Like, but it feels like dyslexics are really curious about a lot of stuff. So it's like, everything that's happening. But also it's like, if you're running a printing press, you got to like actually get all that.
You have to get all those pieces and put them in there.
You got to figure out how to run those machines and do it quickly. You know, it's like, that's like a totally different motor memory sort of thing that you're like, you got to visualize and figure out how to work all the time, you know? So it's like,
and I think it does make sense though, because now I'm just, and this is what, feel free to make any declarative statements you want, John, just by the way, like, cool. It's fine. The commenters will tell us
we're not
if they disagree.
Reviewed. We're not a peer
yeah,
reviewed.
We're not peer reviewed, right. And the commenters for sure they definitely tell us when they think we're not right.
Especially,
so especially who?
F and Jamie TT.
F and Jamie TT loves the tell. Love you, F and Jamie TT.
No
but
anyway, hesitations on the feedback.
Keep us honest.
Yeah, but what I think is very dislikes about the printing press is that it you are like. It's very visual, right? And it's very spatial because now you're taking those words and you're putting it into a system as opposed to it just being sitting on a page. You're like taking letters from here off a box, right? That has the organized of letters, right? And they're all different sizes.
Yeah, exactly.
And and you're moving it out. Then you're putting it into another spatial thing, right? And then you're taking those letters in a 3D space and
it's reversed
and reversing it and putting it onto a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
So it does seem like it could be conducive.
I think that builds on our argument that dyslexic people probably invented the alphabet.
F and Jamie Tutti?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he doesn't
I
like
which video.
He didn't like that we said that, but I'm sticking with it.
Wait, are you talking about me?
No.
We're always talking about you, Lucas.
We're all,
the whole podcast.
Anyways. is this dyslexic untied or stutterer / autism untied? I don't know.
It's everything.
Well, looks like it's dyslexic untied, but it looks like it's the autistic doing the tying of the
and
show.
And friends.
And Bridget.
And autistics and friends.
Like well,
Bridget's my friend.
So. Yeah. Bridget's sometimes friendly to me. But what do you think this is going to be a fine? I don't know where we are in time, but.
Okay. I don't know.
Like
no,
minutes.
Cool.
Where
that's
are we?
Cool. What do you think about our logo?
I love it.
Wow. Okay. Oh, wow. Hey.
You know,
feedback?
Yeah,
it was designed by Tomas. So.
Our fist? Yeah.
Well, have you seen the new logo?
Do you like it?
Man, yeah. I think it was
okay.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, we.
I read a lot of Karl Marx. So,
no, I just I wanted.
Yeah, no, please.
No, I want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want him to. He can tell me it sucks. I don't want to shut the laptop.
No, I like
that,
it. Yeah,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, like I love the name too. You know, it's like
it's a new iteration.
Yeah.
It's a little more. There's a little more like splatter in there.
And
but I thought that was
we'll
important.
Also
we'll
trying to get a new theme song.
We are
oh,
trying
yeah.
to get a theme song.
We'll see.
Because right now, it's just like it's stock music. That
it's really
using.
Bad.
It works, though.
I like it.
I think it works. I mean,
no.
they're really here to just, they're really here to listen to us, right? You know?
I'm,
he doesn't care.
I think we're here to see my mad editing skills.
Yeah, I don't know,
yes,
I think more
mad editing skills.
They are pretty mad.
Maybe not the music, but editing, yes.
No. The music goes with the editing. Edit to the music.
Bum, 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 bum.
That was like 50% what it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. That was a pretty good impression of it.
I think it was good.
I mean, I got the essence of it.
I couldn't tell you what it is. I don't watch the show.
That's another thing. I don't know. Is that a
what?
Is that a dyslexic thing where you can? Or is that just me?
A dyslexic thing where you what?
Like, you could hear, like, part of a music, like, you just know it. You're
yes.
Like, oh, I know that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I
it
can
drives
do that.
It drives Christy crazy. I'm in the car, and I, like, one power chord, I'm like, oh, it's this by
this
band.
It's this by this person, yep.
Yep.
So you can...
I can
right
do
away.
Movies.
Now,
with, like,
I turn on the radio,
frame.
Oh, that's so-and-so. And she's like, what? I'm like...
John, do you play any instruments?
No, not really. I used to have some.
I like how he thought about that.
Yeah, I like how he was like,
does
have
like,
I played
kazoo
an instrument?
Count?
Yeah.
do I want to seem like a nerd?
Yeah. He says, oh, I play the oboe. And it's like,
okay.
Christy,
wait,
I'm sorry, John.
I cut. Christy plays
no,
the
oboe.
Yeah. I'm not knocking oboe players.
Anyway.
No, I don't really play anything now.
Yeah, I tried the. My grandpa could do the. I thought I would have the mind for it. My grandpa could like learn piano from sight.
Yeah.
And
my
I tried
by listening.
And I couldn't do it. My
so yeah, I can
that.
Listen and play if I just, I like, that's a note. That's a note. That's a note. You know, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. I was like, for intelligence questioning, like you can think in music, but not know how to read notes. Like I don't know how to read music anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to,
right.
But like I can hear a melody in my head and then play it on a piano. But I don't know what the notes are.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
So that's another way of thinking.
See, I play the trumpet, and like I can do like I could sight read. I could like you know count the music. I could like play the music, read the music. Just wait, no, that's sight reading. Anyways, but like but so I think this was like an autism thing because I can't. We're kind of talking about this in the previous episode, but like but like thought process and like I can't hear my thoughts. It's impossible right. for me to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I could never. Someone. I
yeah
yeah
yeah. He
and
I couldn't.
I see visuals.
Yeah.
I see movie.
But I yeah. couldn't. I couldn't play a piece and like kind of read it at the same time. Like I could see like the type of note it was, like quarter note, eighth note, like. And like I knew this, like okay, like this note is A, and this is just kick the camera, but this note is A, and this note is B. But like in terms of like putting it all together, I would have to be able to hear the music first, and then yeah. play it because then it was like I was singing, but like and like so just a little context there, because I can't hear my thoughts. I kind of it's like I have like a little trick I use where it's like I'm whispering to myself, okay. but the mouth is shut, and it's like. So I have to use air to speak to myself as if I were speaking. Mm. So I couldn't do both play and think at the same time. I had to know what it is. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's like...
No, that's,
I hear you.
Super yeah, yeah. yeah. That's, no, that's fascinating.
So many different ways of processing information.
Exactly. So yeah. what do you think your next steps are? Like, what are you trying to work towards? What's your dream?
So I'm finishing my last... term of classes for grad work, so like 4.5 years of grad classes.
Wow.
33 grad classes, 2 language requirements. It's all closing right now, so I'm gonna start like my dissertation prospectus next, and yeah, so it's just gonna be like phenomenology of dyslexia and nice. But also like yeah, probably gonna bring in like kind of like Lucas was just talking about, like autistic people.
Yep.
Like Lucas is mentioning, is like they also think visually, so like I think just like sort of larger experience of thinking visually and what that's like is going to probably be the main focus, you know.
That's really cool.
Yeah so it'll awesome, be a few man. Years till it's all done, but
yeah that's really really cool. Is this what you always wanted to focus on, or how did you get
oh my god because you know?
I did
a master's degree and I really got into phenomenology there, but I kind of got into phenomenology because like originally because of like, you know, teaching physics, you study a lot of Einstein.
Yep.
Like Einstein has like this whole thing where it's like time actually doesn't move if you actually like think about like special relativity and like terms. It's really
That's
weird.
Awesome. It's so
it's,
awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so I was like just thinking about that more and more and just like obsessed with like how do we actually experience time if it's not actually moving. And like so I got really into philosophy of time and like phenomenology of time because it's all about the experience of time versus the physics of time. So I went to do a PhD like just on like philosophy of time, but like as stuff went on, as time went on, as they say, like I kind of just realized I got to do more on dyslexia because
yeah, that's
awesome. Actually like even number one, like I can't even experience stuff without my dyslexia. Like
it's,
I can't
experience it's exactly stuff. Right.
It's
yeah.
like, you know, yeah. So like it also just felt more important. You know, it's like
so,
I think it
yeah, yeah, it's
more,
good.
More, you know, so
yeah,
I'm super.
It feels like it feels like that could almost be like a piece of physics study. I mean, it probably is, right? So like the way, so like if someone's autistic or if someone's dyslexic or if someone has ADHD or whatever it might be, I didn't mean to rhyme, but they are physically experiencing the world differently. Right. And so you'd think that there'd be, yeah. and I don't know if you've looked, seen that at all, or if I'm just spouting nonsense, which I normally am, but it seems like that would be almost a field of physics for how people step into and experience
reality.
And see the world. Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, cause your reality, even at your age in physics, is different than my reality at my age. Mm-hmm. Right. Like you experience the world differently. Your memory is different. You know, neurons that are firing are different at a certain age. And so it makes you experience the world differently. And so I wonder if that falls into the category of with dyslexia and things of that nature as well.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think it would be in physics per se. And like the thing is, like, we're still going to like experience physics the same. It's like, it's not like for us.
It's not like it's making me able to move a rock any easier.
Right. Exactly. It's like, and you and I are going to drop a pen. It's going to fall at the same rate as it is for anyone
right.
else. Like physics is still the same. And I think we still experience a lot of it the same, but I think you're exactly right. There's like there are like these nuanced differences that are like super different, and I think and like this is also like where phenomenology is interesting, is it spends a lot of like phenomenology is like about 100 years old as a field.
Oh wow.
It spends a lot of time looking at like how do scientists actually like come up with theories, sort of thing. And so that's like a big part of phenomenology is like how do you actually take experience and move that into like worrying about how the neurons fire.
Yeah.
Like, you don't experience the neurons firing. It's like you have to experience looking at all this stuff to even get to the idea of the neurons firing. So
that's fascinating.
It's like a huge thing. So yeah, it's like, I think actually more of what you're talking about is phenomenology than physics, actually.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Well, now
no,
you know how to get a PhD in.
Now I know what to keep studying. Well, final thoughts from you, John. We're running on time. Any other thoughts from you? We're going to include, if you get with us, get with Lucas afterward, we're going to include links and stuff like that to any works that you have. Stop counting down. That's not
helpful. This camera's about to run out of time.
Okay. We're almost out of time. We're going to cut it here. But... we'll just stay on the camera, but we're going to go.
Thank you so much for talking to you.
Like, yeah, great to talk to you.
Really super appreciate you having me. This has been super fun. So.
I'm looking forward to reading your prospectus or whatever else gets approved and keeping up with you. Like,
yeah,
cool.
Man, it's been awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. See y'all.
See you guys next time.
Oh, you said we were almost out of time, but really.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on Dyslexics Untied. New episodes every Saturday on Spotify and YouTube. Also, catch us on TikTok.